Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Romans chapter number 8. I want to give you a thought tonight, and I've been studying on this a little bit. And matter of fact, on Friday night, me and Brother Fletcher was talking a while, and man, he done great preaching this week at the camp meeting. I enjoyed fellowshipping with him, and we was talking on Friday night, and he began talking about a series that he had just done recently at his church on the spirits in the Bible. And it really intrigued my interest whenever he said that. And I was already studying on this to preach tonight, but I began studying. You know, there's a bunch of different spirits in the Bible. And I know the one that we talked about 99% of the time is the Holy Spirit tonight. Amen. That's what I'm going to talk to you about for a little while. But I'm probably going to do some more studying on that. And if the Lord will let me preach a series on the different spirits in the Bible. And there's some that needs to be cast out. Amen. One of them is the spirit of fear. That's not of God. The spirit of fear is not of God. Those seducing spirits, those unclean spirits. And anyway, I want to call your attention into Romans chapter number 8 tonight. And in recent days, I've been studying the book of Romans again. And one thing that I've done a little bit differently, personally in my Bible study, and over the past several months, instead of reading a large amount of Scripture, I've been doing a more, I guess you could say, a deep dive of the book. And then I'll read just a little bit out of that book, according like Romans, and then I'll do a deep dive on the book of Romans to know more about the book of Romans. And honestly, chapter number 8, and I said this last Sunday morning, I preached out of chapter number 8, but chapter number 8 is one of the pinnacles in the Word of God. Romans chapter number 8 is just absolutely amazing tonight. Whenever you read it, and I'm glad that we're no longer condemned by sin, but thank God that we're saved tonight. Amen. I want to call your attention. Let's stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's Word. I want to read one verse to you tonight, and we talk about this verse. We refer to this verse. We even quote this verse a lot. But look what the Bible said in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 26. The Bible said, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." With groanings which cannot be uttered. And I want to talk to you about this thought for a little while tonight, relying on the Holy Spirit when we don't know what to do. Relying on the Holy Spirit when we don't know what to do. Father, I love you. I pray that over the next few minutes tonight, God, that you'd help us, Lord, that you'd breathe on us. I pray, God, that we would get understanding from thy word, that it wouldn't just be, God, words uttered out of my mouth tonight, but they'd be ordained by you and we would find help from it. God, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. You know, I want to talk to you about relying on the Holy Spirit tonight. You know, I thought about this as I began studying and looking at this. Every day of our lives, we need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Every day of our life, we need God through the work of the Holy Spirit that indwells in the believer now after salvation. We need Him to lead us and to guide us along the way. But I'll say this to you, especially we need Him to help us in those times of grief, in those times of hardships. I'll say this to you tonight, and you've heard me say it many times, but because we're saved by the grace of of God does not mean that we are exempt from the trials of this life. We're going to face hard days. We're going to have times of grief. We're going to have times of hardship. Until the Lord comes back, we're just going to have to deal with that. Amen. And what we need in those times, we need the Lord to guide us and the Lord to lead us. He does that through the work of the Holy Spirit. I've heard statements like this many times. Well, what you need to do is just trust your heart. Can I just say something to you? I hope that you don't tell nobody that, because when you do, you show your immaturity in the Bible. Let me tell you the reason why. The Bible says no man can trust the heart. I'm going to tell you something. Our heart is wicked tonight, amen. I've heard this statement made. Well, just trust your gut. I've heard that statement made many times, and I thought about a book that Chip and Dan Heath wrote on. It's a book on decisive, and here's what it says. Our guts are full of questionable advice. Consider the unlimited red velvet cheesecake. Somebody say amen. Consider the unlimited red velvet cheesecake at the Cheesecake Factory. A truly delicious dessert and one that clocks in at 1,540 calories, which is the equivalent of 3 McDonald's double cheeseburgers plus a pack of Skittles. The unlimited red velvet cheesecake is exactly the kind of thing that our guts get excited about. Yet no one would make the mistake in guiding someone and saying to do that because it is wise. You said, preach, what are you saying? You can't trust your gut. Are you with me? Have you ever thought, well, I'm going to trust my gut, and 2 hours later you're thinking, man, I should have never ate all of that. Somebody say amen. So you say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. In times of difficulties, in times of grief, we need the Holy Ghost to guide us. I thought about this. The types of decisions we may face in grief are many and diverse. I wrote a few things down. Think about this. Choices specific to the loss we have experienced or are experiencing. We may need to make decisions in areas such as which treatment option to choose in an illness, or whether to spend or save or to invest money from a life insurance policy after a loved one's death. Choices specific to our loss are especially difficult because they relate to the areas that are unfamiliar to us. What about this? Routine decisions of life. Routine, you said, preacher, what are you talking about? Ordinary life choices such as which clothes to wear for the day or what or where to eat dinner can feel overwhelming in the midst of mental or emotional fog because of grief. Because of grief. What about this in decisions in areas of expertise of a loved one that used to handle it? I've heard ladies say this after their husband has passed away. I don't even know which plumber to call. I don't know what to do. You hear me tell you the reason why? Because of grief. And in those times of grief, I want to say something to you tonight. We need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us in those times of grief. I read this week, and here's what I read on it. It said, Kelly Gallinor won a gold medal at the Paralympic Winter Games in 2014 in slalom skiing. Slalom skiing reaches speeds of 80 miles an hour, which is difficult enough. But what is most amazing is that Gallagher has a medical condition which makes her almost completely blind. Went on to say this, she navigates the course by listening to her guide over a Bluetooth headset. Her guide skis just ahead of her and gives her instructions all the way down on which way to turn and which way to go. Can I say something to you? Grief will leave us blinded sometimes, and we don't know which way to go, which way is up, which way is down, which way to turn around. And what we need is somebody to guide us in those times. Let me tell you who that person is. It's none less than the Holy Spirit of God tonight. I want to say this to you tonight. We can lean on each other, and I think that we should. We can talk to each other, and I think that we should. But there is times in our life where it doesn't matter what nobody else is saying. We become deaf to it. We become blind to what we're seeing. Why? Because of the grief that's inside of us that is overwhelming us. Oh, but aren't you thankful that when we lay our head to rest or when we bow our knees in prayer, we have a Bluetooth to somebody else? Call unto me and I will answer thee. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. And here's what the Bible said. He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know what he's saying? He's saying this to his church. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. And I want to say this to you tonight. You may have never reached that point. You think, but you have reached that point in your life where you just really didn't know what to do. We may act like we've got it all together. We may act like we know all the answers and all the questions. But if you've been adulting any much time at all, you have reached areas when you sit back and go really deep down inside, Brother Lloyd, we may put a good face on, but we don't know what to do, Brother Aaron. So you know what we need tonight? We need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Spirit that indwells in us to help us. I'll give you one point tonight. I've got three. I'll not go through all of them tonight. I'll give you one. Come back next Sunday night and I'll give you another one in class. Number one, we need the Holy Spirit's help with our problems. The simple things. We need the Holy Spirit's help with our problems. Throughout Romans chapter number 8, God reveals the wonderful relationship we have with Him. We are assured that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We learn that the Holy Spirit provides assurance to our hearts after our salvation. And think about this, as we learn that although we are in the world groaning under the weight of the fall, we can anticipate, we can know that we have a heavenly Father that'll help us. I thought about this until the day that we do go home, until the day He does call us home. We're still going to live in a broken, sinful, grieving world. What did the Bible say in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 26? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The Holy Spirit provides perfect, unfailing guidance for us when we turn to Him. When we turn to Him. The problem is this so many times. We don't turn to Him. The problem is this so many times. We try to fix it ourselves. The problem is this so many times we use the Holy Spirit as the last resource when He should be the first resource. He helps us in our problems. How does He help us in our problems? Two ways. Number one, He abides in us. The Holy Spirit abides in us. The very promise that He helpeth our infirmities implies that He is with us. He doesn't help us from a distance. He helps us personally. Now, I want to say this to you tonight. I thought about this when you think back to the upper room as Jesus shared the Last Supper with His disciples before He was crucified. At this moment, Jesus told the disciples that He would be taken from them. Sorrow filled their hearts, but it was in this context of their sorrow that Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. Listen to what He said in John chapter number 16, verse 5 through 7. But now I go to my Father. But now I go my way to Him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I've said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Can I just say something to you again tonight? That day will come. He goes on to say this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Can I tell you something? What Jesus did on the day of ascension, you know what he did? He went away. And when he went away, guess what happened? The Holy Spirit, which is the Comforter, come unto us that day. And because of that, now he abides in us. The guidance of the Holy Spirit is not impersonal and distant. The Holy Spirit promised, was promised to every believer. Better yet, the presence of the Holy Spirit is permanent in every believer. It's not something that comes and goes, but it's something that's always with us. I thought about John chapter number 13. And you know, we always go to chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Then he skips on down to verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but he But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That's the Holy Spirit. But when you go back to what's happening prior to that, you know what it is? It's chapter 13. What's he saying in chapter 13? He's saying this, Judas is going to betray me. He's saying this, that Peter's going to deny him. He's saying this, they're fixing to kill me. So you know what? To the disciples, man, they was overwhelmed with grief and sorrow and wondering what was going to happen. But Jesus said, you don't have to worry about it, because I'll send somebody to you and he will abide in you. So the Holy Spirit, I say this, he abides in us. Well, then watch this, the Holy Spirit, he assists us. He's not just there to abide in us. He is there to assist us. The Holy Spirit helps us in our problems. He's there to assist us. I thought about this. We've all been in situations in which there was someone who was willing to help, but they couldn't help. And we've all been in situations where there's somebody that could help, but they wasn't willing to help. Are you with me? It's two different classes of people right there. Pick which one you need to be, amen? But think about this. When it comes to the Holy Spirit, he's not only willing to help and not only can help, he will help. But I also thought about this. You got to let him. You got to let him. If you don't let him, God, Percy Ray said this years ago. He said, God will not make you live for him, but he'll make you wish you had him. You know what he's saying? He's simply saying this. You got a free will. God's not going to make you do anything. And that even goes for after salvation. God's not going to make you let the Holy Ghost help him. You ever tried to do something? I'll talk to you women for just a minute. You ever tried to do something? Your husband come by and said, I'll be glad to help you. No, I got it. Come on, you bunch of sissies. Somebody say amen. I got it. And you said, okay. You walk on by, and just a little while, you come back by, and your wife's still struggling with it, and you say, hey, I'll be glad to help. No, I got it. Okay. And you go and sit down in a recliner and start watching John Wayne. Here in just a little while, are you not going to help me? Nope. I told you twice I would, but you said you got it. Somebody say amen. You know what? There's times in our life that the Holy Ghost comes by and says, you know what? I'll be glad to help you with that problem. I'll be glad to help you with that trouble. But we trust our gut. We trust our heart. We think we've got it all figured out, when all we've got to do is run back to Him, the Holy Spirit, and allow Him to assist us. Allow Him to assist us. I thought about this. The Bible said in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. He wants to assist in our infirmities. The meaning of the word infirmities in Romans 8:26 reminds us of how thoroughly God understands our needs. Infirmities means this: want of strength, weakness of the body, its native weakness and frailty, feebleness of health and sickness, weakness of the soul, want of strength and capacity requisite to the need. You know what He's saying? He's saying that He wants to give us strength. He wants to help our weak body. He wants to help our frail body. He wants to help us in our time of feebleness. How does the Holy Spirit guide us? Well, He said this in John 16:13. Listen to this. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, there's another Spirit in the Bible. That's an interesting one right there. I was reading on it today. The Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit, listen to what I'm thinking about, Him assisting us. The Holy Spirit always guides, listen to me, according to the Scripture. The Holy Spirit, if you'll listen to me about 5 minutes, I'll get done. The Holy Spirit never guides you away from Scripture. In times of grief, I've seen people get out of church and even heard this statement made: well, when the Lord tells me to, I'll go back to church. God never told you to leave the church. I'm preaching good. God never told you to leave the church. God never told you to sit at the house. God never told you to take a break from church. You know, let me tell you what God said to do: forsake not the assembling of ourselves together with believers. And He goes on to say, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What is that day? It's the coming of the Lord, and it's coming real soon. And you know what the Holy Spirit says? Go to church. That's what the Holy Spirit says. The Holy Spirit never guides you contrary to Scripture. What did He say again in the text or in John 16? Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. The Bible is our weapon in spiritual warfare, and the Holy Spirit uses it to enable us to fight against the attacks of Satan and on our hearts and on our minds. Ephesians says this: take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit reminds us of Scripture we have previously heard and studied and meditated on. What did He say in John 14:26? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things. Now listen, and bring all things to your remembrance. Let me tell you what the Holy Spirit does in our times of grief. When He's assisting us, He reminds us of the Word of God. Amen. He reminds us of the truths of God's Word. He reminds us of He said that He would never leave us nor forsake us. He reminds us, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Let me tell you what He does. He reminds us that He is the lily of the valley and the bright and morning star and the one that's altogether lovely. That's what the Holy Ghost assists with. He assists in bringing us back to the Scripture. I thought about this, Romans 8:14-15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know what the Spirit does? The Spirit reassures us that we have someone to turn to, someone that we can cry Papa to, because we have been adopted. There's a lot of things to us. Things that we see, experiences that we go through. It does a lot of things to us. I'll just say this to you. Traumatic situations, they do a lot of things to us. Brother Mac, I believe you say amen to this. Miss Vicky, Brother Aaron, some others in here. Brother Lloyd, Brother Stan, others in here. Brother Brian back there, this Brother Brian, that Brother Brian, all the Brother Brian say amen. I wish that I could erase from my mind a lot of things that I saw in 30 years of fire and fire chaplaincy and law enforcement. I wish I could erase a lot of things that I seen. Matter of fact, the other day I was preaching at Southside Baptist Church, and just before you get to Southside Baptist Church, it was the first fatality I ever run. And I told the girls all about it whenever we drove by. I can still tell you what the 6-year-old kid looked like that I pulled out from underneath the car that was dead. I can still tell you what the 6-week-old baby looked like that we pulled out of the car and put in the first time I ever seen air care. I can tell you what her mama looked like. I can tell you the paramedic that worked the scene that took his shirt off and wrapped the baby up in it, waiting on air care. I can tell you every bit of it. And those things get in our mind. And at our weakest moment sometimes, all of that triggers in our mind and starts running again. Matter of fact, the other night I was laying and was just restless. And I ended up telling Miss Leslie, I just don't feel good. I'm going to go sit on the couch. And all of it was Brother Aaron just 30 years. Just went, poof, I don't know where it come from. In times of grief and traumatic situations causes us to act in different ways. And to do different things and to say different things. Now you can holler amen or oh me. It's the truth today. But if we'll listen to the Holy Spirit that is abiding in us, He will assist us. What did He say? He helps our infirmities. And this is the way, listen to me now, this is the way He helps us. He always guides us according to Scripture. In those times when you're confused, you're not being led by the Spirit of God. And those times, it's getting quieter and tighter. Some of y'all wishing I'd picked up the other mic because the time would about be out. In those times where our mind is racing 100 miles an hour and we can't even put a sentence together, you know, the best thing we can do in those times is not try to put a sentence together. The best thing we can do in those times is study to be quiet. That's what the Bible said. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes you just need to be still. What the Spirit does is guides you according to that word. And that's never confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Listen to this. That's never an overwhelming fear, because God hath not given us a spirit of fear. The Holy Spirit that helps us in our problems abides in us, but He assists us and advises us based off of the Bible. And if anything that we're saying and anything that we're doing is contrary to the Bible, then it's not the Holy Spirit helping us. We're trusting our gut and following our heart. That's the reason in times of grief we have to run to Him and allow Him to help us in our infirmities. We must trust Him. We must lean on Him. That's the reason Paul said, and I talked about it this morning, I taught on it this morning, that I may know Him. Because when you know somebody, you know His voice. You know His accent. You know what He is and you know what He ain't. The Holy Spirit helps us in our times of trouble by abiding in us, by assisting us, and by advising us. And his advice is always the Bible. It never goes against it. It's always the Bible.